Just because something's true doesn't mean that it's helpful. Just because something's factual, just because something is true, doesn't mean that we can apply it to our lives. You would say, Tim, you're the worst youth pastor in the world. What if someone came up to me and they're dealing with a death in their family, or they're dealing with an addiction, or they're dealing with some type of sin and problem? And I go, oh, yeah, you know what? The sky is blue. Well, Tim, why are you I'm giving them truth, I'm giving them facts. You know what's crazy? And sometimes when you come to conferences and sometimes you go to church, people try to stand up here and they think information leads to transformation. That's not true. I can't give you the right information that will just change everything. Just because something true doesn't mean that it's relevant. Just because something true doesn't mean that it's helpful. And this is what makes Jesus great. God didn't just send us a preacher. He sent us a person. He didn't just send us more information. He didn't just send us more books. He sent us Him very self. He wrapped Himself right in flesh and gave us Jesus. And so tonight, I just want to give you facts about Jesus. No, I want to see life change. We want to see transformation. We don't just want to hear about Jesus. We want to experience Him. We want to encounter Him. We want His truth, and His word is truth. But it's not just facts. It's not just a mathematical fact. Jesus is more than just a historical fact. He's way more than that. And so hopefully when we talk about what it means to be rooted in Jesus, let's just be honest. If Sierra came to me and had a relationship problem and I say, here's your answer, be rooted in Jesus. And what does that mean exactly? Oh, Tim, I'm struggling with drugs. You need to be rooted in Jesus. What does that even mean? We sing songs sometimes, we don't even know what it means. We say amen to things because he's right. We don't even know what he's saying. And I don't want us to do that, right? It would be wrong for me just to say, hey, this you need to be rooted in Jesus without telling you why you need to be rooted in him, why you need to be found in Jesus, and how Jesus can actually help you. Another thing I get to do, I don't just travel and speak full time, but when I'm not busy traveling and speaking, I'm a certified personal trainer. I love training people, all right? And so I have clients come up to me, and I have this one client, awesome lady. She said, Tim, I want to lose 100 pounds. And I go, okay. I would be a horrible trainer if I just gave her a book on, this is how you lose 100 pounds. Go for it. You got it. And sometimes you come to conferences, you know what people try to do? They just try to throw a book at you, and that's called the Bible. But not explain how the Bible can transform your life. I don't know about you guys, but the Bible isn't just the old book for old people to stop young people from having fun. The Bible is life, okay? Jesus says, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So when I'm eating and I'm feeding on the word of God, if it doesn't change me, it's not the book's fault, it's my fault. But listen, I'm not just going to give you facts. I'm not just going to give you scriptures. We're going to talk about why being rooted in Christ matters now. How Jesus and receiving him matters today. Why is that? Why should we be rooted in Christ? Well, this is the number one reason, the gospel. The gospel. We got to start there. It has to be the foundation. We got to get this straight. And listen, the gospel, as I said, is more than information. The gospel isn't just, oh yeah, Jesus came, died, rose again, and he's going to come back one day. When? Soon? Dang, it's been a long time. I don't know. He's way more than that. And sometimes when people explain the gospel, it's like, oh yeah, check, I got that. Listen, the gospel should be good news, not old news. We got to start with the gospel. And I love, see, the gospel demonstrates the love and glory of God through his son. Think about this. He chose a cross as a symbol to demonstrate his love. He chose that. That wasn't by accident. I love what this one preacher said. He said, the gospel is the good news that the everlasting and ever-increasing joy of the never-boring, ever-satisfying Christ is ours freely and eternally by faith in the sin-forgiving death and hope of the giving of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you heard it and said, what does that mean? Other people heard it and said, that's good. And I want to break this down, because even you hear the word like the gospel, some of you like, and now that's going to help me. Sierra, I know you're having relationship issues, baby, but you need to believe the gospel. And so what? And adults, we can't get mad when the youth ask us these questions. They're not questioning you. They really want to know, so what? We can't get mad. Preachers, pastors, right? Youth pastors, leaders, parents, when you sit down with your son and your daughter and you're saying, listen, you need to believe in Jesus. And they go, Why? You can't go, because I told you. They're asking why, not in the attitude. They're asking like, so what's the benefit of this? I'm a certified personal trainer. When I'm training my clients, I can just say, hey, do this sit-up. Why? Because I told you to. I tell them the muscle that we're working. I tell them the effort they need to put in because I'm guaranteeing certain results. We need to begin to tell our young people and our students why following Jesus, why believing the gospel is important to them now. Because growing up, you know what I thought? I thought Jesus, he was just the guy that's going to get me out of hell one day. That's what I thought. That's what I thought the gospel was. The gospel was, pray this prayer, and when I die, I ain't going to fry. Because that's how the gospel was presented to me. The gospel, the guy who, well, good intention. I'm so happy that he even presented to me this way. Might be off, but I'm glad he at least had the boldness to share. He said, hey, son. And I was like, hey, how you doing? I don't know why you're calling me son. I never met you, but hello, right? I didn't say all that. I just said, hey, right? I was 15 years old. I didn't know what was going on. He says, are you 100% sure you know where you're going when you die? And I was like, who is? I don't know. Well, do you want to know? Like, yeah. Well, it's two choices, heaven or hell. Which one? Who says hell? Who says that? I said, heaven. He says, do you know how to get to heaven? I said, no. Well, it was this man named Jesus. He came and he died for your sins. And if you repeat this prayer after me, when you die, you'll go where? To heaven. Does that sound like a good deal? I was like, yeah. Do you want to pray? Yeah. Well, repeat after me. Boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You're going to heaven now. Sweet. That was easy. That's who I thought Jesus was, right? That's what, so Jesus was just fire insurance, right? I ain't going to hell and I can do whatever I want because he loved me. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what I thought the gospel was. And to be honest with you, right, some of us may still think that. Some of us was taught that. But it didn't help me out for my life. You see, Jesus was someone who just dealt with my eternity, but he didn't deal with me daily. Some of us, we treat Jesus that way, right? We trust him for salvation. We trust him for heaven, but we don't trust him for the things day in and day out. So why would you be rooted? Why would you be grounded, fixed, established, focused, devoted to Christ when you're just like, it's not going to matter until I die? Listen, if salvation is about you getting to heaven, when you received Christ, you should have got beamed up to heaven. Why are you still here? That's the things we want to answer for you this weekend. Why the gospel matters, why the resurrection matters. And this is some of the things which are huge because sometimes we use big words. And tonight we're going to focus on just two words that really, I think, demonstrates and shows the glory of the gospel, the God that we serve. And I'm going to show you two words. And it might be big words at first, but hopefully by the grace of God, through the power of his spirit, I'll just break it down for us so you can hold on to that, so you can know why the person and work of Jesus is beautiful. And some of us, like, we're at church, like, well, Tim, I don't understand something. Well, continue to ask questions. One time, Jesus was preaching, and this guy came up to him by the name of Nicodemus. And what did Nicodemus ask? He said, what? What does it mean to be what? Born again. This is a grown man. We get so deep sometimes, we miss the practicality of the Bible. This is a grown man, a real intellectual guy. And Jesus says, look, you must be born again. You know what Nicodemus said, the spiritual one? Does that mean I have to, like, go back into my mom and come back out again? That's in the Bible. Jesus, like, really? You understand all these things? You don't get that? Right, really? Come on. Right? Hey, listen, Jesus is not intimidated by your questions, so you shouldn't be afraid to ask them. And so I'm going to look at this couple of big words, right, that we're going to look at. And we're going to study, and we're going to talk about it. And I want to show you not just the beauty in that word, but the beauty of Jesus in that. So that everyone, no matter how young or how old you may be, every student, adult will walk away saying, I freely give my life to Christ. I declare that I want to be rooted and grounded in him because I know why I should in the first place. The first word is this, justification. Everyone say justification. Say it like me, say justification. Now, let's just be real. A lot of us don't know what that means, and that's okay. Right? Justified. Right? We've seen that. Oh, I am justified. What'd that mean? I don't know, but it sounds good saying it. Right? That was me. That was me in church. I didn't know. I was just going with the crowd. Justification, right? Justification, being made righteous, blameless, holy before God. If justification is true, which I'm going to break down, when someone comes up to you and says, man, how does God feel about you? You can say, I'm perfectly accepted in Christ. When someone asks you how your relationship with God is going, know what you can say humbly? Perfect. Why? Because Christ is my righteousness. I am holy because of him. I've been made right. I've been made right. You see, justification in Christ offers unmatched relief and joy that will lead to living a fulfilled life. Let me tell you why justification is so huge. Being made right before God, righteous, holy before him. This is it. Justification offers relief because we no longer have to fear being rejected by God. Isn't that awesome? That we don't have to fear God. We don't have to fear being rejected by God. And it also leads to our joy because his approval is greater than anyone else's. You know what's great about justification practically? When my wife does not like me, God still loves me. When I mess up, he's still faithful. The Bible goes as far as say, man, when you're faithless, when you're just really weak, he still remains faithful. The Bible goes because of justification being made right because of Jesus. When you're at your weakest, God says, my strength is made perfect. Know what's cool about justification? The cool thing about justification is this. You might be here tonight thinking that God doesn't accept you because you're not good enough. And justification fixes that. And we're going to talk about that. Because some of you, you're a Christian, but you still struggle. You still have sin in your life. And you're thinking, oh man, I can't go to God in prayer. Oh man, I can't worship. And some of us, we've been there, even myself. Sometimes when I'm having a good week, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm sharing the gospel, and I come to church. When it's time for worship, Tim's all up in it. Some of you from church, so you don't dance. That's okay, right? I'm from a church, we be dancing, singing, doing all this crazy stuff. And sometimes when I have a bad week and worship starts, I'm like this. You know why? Because instead of thinking and worshiping God because he's good, I think I'm not worthy to worship him because I wasn't good. And God reminds me, hey, Tim, so when you're worshiping me, when you're having the good days, you're not worshiping me and my performance. You're worshiping yourself. Even when you're bad, even when you make mistakes, even when you're just getting trapped up by every sin and weight that's just throwing you off, you should worship me definitely in those moments because you're proving to yourself that I am worthy, not that you're worthy. And some of you, Tim, with this, I mean, some of you had a hard time worshiping God tonight because you don't get the concept of justification and you think that he hasn't received your worship. And that's a lie from Satan. Because of Christ, you've been made whole. You've been made new. You've been made righteous in his sight, holy and blameless. So you can worship him through song any day, at any time. This is a crazy thing. The thing I love about parables, when Jesus is teaching parables, it kind of shows us just the glimpse in the heart of God. Raise your hand if you ever heard about that parable, the prodigal son. You remember that? You remember that? The crazy thing about the prodigal son is this kid comes up to his father and asks for his inheritance. How do you usually get your inheritance? When what happens? When the dad dies. So he basically walks up to his dad and is like, hey, yo, dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. You see, if I walked up to my parents and did that, the Bible would have said, and Tim was shot. And then seriously, it would have been over. It would have been done. My mom ain't having it, all right? So Jesus is teaching this parable to show us the heart of his father, to kind of teach us what it's like, his character, his personality. And this guy straight comes up to his dad and says, basically, I wish that you were dead. I don't want relationship with you. But give me what's rightfully mine. Give me my inheritance. Give me your blessings. You know what's crazy? When we sin, that's exactly what we do to our father. We basically say, oh, I still want the blessings now. Don't go all crazy on me, God. But I don't want to be in relation with you. I want to go and do my own thing. Right? And so this young guy does that. And you know the story. He goes and he wastes his money. His brother, when he comes back, says, yeah, I mean, he even spent his money on prostitutes. I mean, he blows it. He really blows it. And somehow, someway, miraculously, Jesus doesn't tell us, says that he came to himself. He started having this conversation with himself. Like, man, what am I doing? Where did he find himself eating out of? What was he eating out of? The pigs what?
Yeah.
He's eating with the pigs. He found himself in a hard place. And some of us, this is a crazy thing, right? We sin against God. We basically say, I wish you were dead to me, but keep the blessing. Same thing he does. We sin against God, and we find life just keeps going hard and hard and hard and hard. And then we find ourselves in a tough spot where we can't get ourselves out of. And the Bible says he came to himself, and he said this. He said, you know what? My father, his servants live better than this. The people who work for him live better than this. I'm going to leave where I am, and I'm going to go back home. And it's almost like he's practicing this apology he's going to tell to his dad. So he's walking back. He said, man, I'm just going to ask my dad, not so I could be his son. I'm going to ask my dad if I could just work for him like a servant. You know what he feared? He knew he rightfully deserved rejection. He knew it. Be honest. When we do wrong, we know we do wrong, don't we? Come on, somebody, oh, I slipped into sin. No, you didn't. You stepped right into that thing. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it. You chose. Listen, I tell my clients this, right? Growth starts when the blaming stops. Don't blame your dad. Don't blame your mom. Don't blame your upbringing. It's you. When we choose to walk away from God, when we choose to go live a sinful life, that's not on anyone else, that's on us. And this is what happens. By the grace of God, somehow some of you go, man, what I'm doing is wrong. But then the enemy, he comes in and he tries to turn that grace into something evil. He says, yeah, you know you're doing wrong, and so your father rejects you now because of it. And he's thinking that. He's like, man, I'm just going to go back. I'm not going to be, I don't care if I'm even called his son anymore. I just want to be his servant. So he's walking back, and this is what I love. It says that the father was what this whole time? Waiting where? He was waiting. Waiting for his son. Do we know how long his son was gone? No. We don't know if it was a week. He had a lot of money. We don't know if it was months, years. We don't know. But we do know this. As the son is walking back home, fearing rejection, just want to work for his father, the father's sitting there waiting. And the Bible says this. The father got off and ran to his son. Imagine this. You came up to your parents and said, hey, I wish you were dead. Give me some money. You blow the money. And now you're going to try to come back home and say, hey, let me just work for you. And this is what you see. Your father, who you said that to, running to you full force. What's going on in his head? Is he thinking, oh, boy, I'm in trouble? Oh, no. He doesn't even want me to get to the house. He doesn't even want me to step up on a porch. I don't know what he's thinking. And I love what the Bible says. The Bible says before this young man can even utter a single word, the father pursues him, wraps his arms around him, right, and celebrates him. Says, go get the best robe, go get the ring, go get the sandals, kill the fatted calf. Let's throw a party for him because my son who was dead is now alive. We don't even hear anything the son says or does. I don't know about you, but what person you know fixes a problem with a party? That's what God did. That's what this father does. He fixed the problem with a party? Welcome back. He said, this is my son. This is the crazy thing about justification. Justification reminds me that it's not my performance. It's not what I do is why God loves me, accepts me, but it's because of what Christ has done on my behalf. And even if I do not pursue him, even if I just leave him, say, God, I wish you were dead to me, and I walk in my sin, the moment I graciously, by the Holy Spirit, repent and start to head back to Jesus, you know what the Father does? He pursues me. He runs after me. His grace captures me. His Holy Spirit fills me and reminds me, you're not just a worker of mine, you are my son. And I'm going to offer you the very best. Why? Because justification is this. God didn't just forgive you of your wrongs. You know what he did? He rewarded you for Jesus' rights. Some of you got to understand the gospel. Justification isn't just, oh yeah, I sinned, I prayed a prayer, Christ forgave me. No, it's so much more beautiful. It's so much more better. It's you saying, no, I was once a sinner, dead in my sin. Christ pursued me. He came after me. He made me alive. And now Christ was punished for the sin that I did, and I'm rewarded for the righteousness that he lived. That is good news. That is beautiful news. That helps you today, because when God looks at you, it's not like, oh, he just sees his son. No, no, no. Everything that his son did is accredited to your account. The debt hasn't just been cleared and paid. No, no, no. You got hooked up after it. You owe God a whole lot of money, couldn't pay it. Let's make it simple. You were broke. You could offer him nothing. He said, okay, you're in debt, and then here's some. We got to understand justification. You see, you might be here tonight thinking, God doesn't accept me because I'm not good enough. Well, hear the good news. What this Galatians 2 teaches us. It says this. It says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also believed in Christ Jesus. Why? In order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Tim, God doesn't love me because I'm not good enough. You were never good enough and he still loves you. That's what justification reminds us of. Tim, I'm not good enough. You were never good enough. Tim, I'm a sinner. You were born that way. Sorry. And he loves you anyway. Because of what Christ done. He says no one was good enough. No one was going to be justified by the law. James puts it this way. If you broke one law, you're guilty of it all. You were never going to make it. The scales were never. May the odds be in your favor. No. They were never in your favor. Some of you are like, what is that? That's okay. Hunger Games. Woo. Anyway, they were never in your favor. Listen, Jesus was punished for all the wrong we did. We are rewarded for all the good that he did. Listen, Tim, why does justification will make me, would encourage me, would help me want to be rooted, fixed, devoted, loving Christ? This is why. You no longer have to prove yourself to God. You no longer have to prove yourself to yourself or other people. Listen, why is justification so good? Listen, you do not have to prove yourself to God anymore because Jesus has proven himself enough for you. Guess who pleads your case right now before God? Jesus does. When we're praying, guess who's praying on our behalf? Jesus is. That's beautiful. You don't have to prove yourself to God anymore. You don't have to prove yourself to God because Jesus has proven himself enough for you. Why is justification so great? I love what this guy, Dotson, says. Next slide, it says, we can be perfectly and completely accepted by the one who matters most, God the Father. We can be perfectly and completely accepted by the one who matters most, God the Father. We got to get this. You got to understand this love. It's amazing. It's amazing. If I'm loved completely, all the time, I mean perfect love, completely enduring love, accepted by God, of course I want to be rooted to him. You know why? No one else in this world will love you completely and perfectly. You know why my marriage stands? Because it's not my love for my wife that sustains my marriage. It's God's love for us that sustains our marriage. You know why she doesn't like yell at me all the time? Because I'm not her savior, only Jesus is. And when I make mistakes, it draws her to the one who has never made a mistake. Got to get that, students. Students, listen up, that Jesus loves you perfectly. See, oh my gosh, Bible. If you have your Bible, go to John 17. Someone go there. Sword fight, John 17. Go there real quick. For those who grew up in church, you know what we're doing. John 17, go there. If you have your app, go ahead and use it, all right? That's okay. John 17. John 17, verse 26. Jesus prays this, which is great. To the Father, this is great. This is justification right here. Do you have it? Yes. Y'all listen up to this. John 17, 26. This is Jesus praying for you. This is Jesus praying for us. John 17, 26. Read that out loud. Go for it. Okay.
And I made known unto them my name, them thy name, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them and I in them.
Thank you. Listen, John 17, 26. I'm going to keep saying it. John 17, 26. Tim, how do you know God loves you? How do you know the Father loves you completely and perfectly? How do you know that? Well, listen, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm like, man, I don't even know if my prayers are getting through the ceiling. I don't even know if God's hearing them. Sometimes I still have doubts. But you know what? I know that the Father has prayed, has answered every single prayer that Jesus has prayed. And he's talking to his Father right now. You know what he says simply? Father, the same love that you have for me, have for them. The same. Why? Because I am in them. People says, Tim, how do you know that God the Father loves you? Jesus. Tim, how can you honestly say God loves you completely, perfectly? Tim, you're not perfect. Yeah, but Jesus is. And he answered that prayer. Justification, me being made righteous by Christ, reminds me of that. So we got justification down. It's a big word, but the concept is all through Scripture. This next word, ready? Adoption. Adoption. That is beautiful. Has anyone known or know anyone who's been adopted before? Right? Question. When that person adopts that person, did that child choose that person or did the person choose the child? Right? Did the child just wake up and say, yeah, I want parents who are rich, who drive this type of car. I want the parents who let me have TV in my room. I want the parent that when I'm 15, I can have the newest iPhone and MacBook Pro and iPad because I love Apple. No. That's not how adoption works. Do kids fill out applications to get their parents, or do the parents fill out applications to get the kids? The parents. Okay. You know what's the crazy thing about adoption? Adoption, this concept of adoption the scriptures reminds us that we didn't choose our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father chose us. How beautiful is that? That's amazing. Out of everybody in the world, he chose you. You. Well, Tim, you don't know. If you knew me, God had no choice. Oh, he had a choice. All right? He chose you. He chose me. I know me. Listen, we got to remind us. We love God because he what? First loved what? Us. None of you found Jesus. He found you. And that is good news. You know why? The Bible says that you were lost. We sung this, that we were lost and that we were blind. Do you understand how funny the Bible is sometimes? A blind person don't know where they're going. All right? You were lost. You were blind. And I love what we worship. It says, even though we were blind, Christ saw us. And he came after us. And he rescued us. And he chose us. And he said, guess what? Salvation isn't just me saving humanity. Salvation is me saving my sons and daughters. Adoption proves this, that we don't serve a cold, intimidating God. We serve a personal God. We're part of his family. You see, some of you are trying to seek acceptance, and justification cures that. But some of you here, you're trying to seek approval, and adoption fixes that. Knowing that you've been adopted by God. Listen to how the Bible says this in 1 John 3. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. John 1 puts it this way, 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Listen how it says, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Let's make real sense of this. When you were born, did you pick your birthday? Think about that. Did you pick your birthday? Did you go, I'm going to be born February 27th, 1986. That's my birthday. My birthday coming up. I'm taking checks right after this if you want to give to me. Just playing, but seriously. Listen, did you pick your birthday? No. Something happened outside of you, and that's why you're here. It wasn't your will to be born. You know what's the crazy thing about being born again? You didn't choose that day. God chose that day. And it's beautiful. He chose that day. He said, wow, you're going to be made whole. You're going to be made new. You're going to be my son and daughter from this day on. You know what's crazy about family? You can't choose your parents. Parents, you can't choose your kids. But no matter what happens, that's forever your dad. That's forever your mom. That's forever your son. That's forever your daughter. What's the crazy thing about being born again? Since I didn't choose Christ and he chose me, somehow, some way, those that he saves, he keeps. He holds on to us. He's like that loving father. He's waiting for us. And man, we turn around by his power and his strength. And he comes and he grabs us and he gets us every time. I love this. It says, we weren't born out of your will. You weren't born out of flesh and blood. Man didn't do this. It wasn't your will. God made this thing happen. This gospel justification. Oh, I'm seeking acceptance. I'm accepted by God. You listen, students, you are seeking acceptance. You are seeking approval. Acceptance fixed by justification. Approval fixed by adoption. God knows you. Who cares if Facebook knows you? Why don't you use that? Who cares if Twitter knows you? Why don't you use that? Who cares if Instagram knows you? I get around students sometimes like, how's your day going? Oh, it's going great. Why? I got 29 likes on this picture. Really? Who cares if someone likes your picture? God loves you. You have his acceptance and his approval. I love what John Acuff says. He says this way. He says, some of these students and some of our adults, we're seeking fame when we're already made famous in Christ. Who else's approval are you looking after? Who else's approval is going to be greater, or acceptance going to be greater than God himself? You are already famous. You are already famous. But this is the truth. And we sung I Need You, which is great. This is the truth. I love this quote. It says this. Francis Chan said, the irony is that while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God but don't really want him most of the time. I'll read that again. The irony, even though we get justification, we get adoption, we understand the gospel, we understand it's good news. God doesn't need us, but still wants us. Tim is desperately in need of God, but don't really want him most of the time. Students, adults, everyone that's here, we're talking about what it means to be rooted in Christ. I'm trying to give you reasons why to even pursue him. But the crazy thing is this, you may even agree to those reasons, but does your heart truly want the Lord? Do you want him? Do you want him? Do you really, listen, do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you love him? Seriously. Tim, how can this practically help? See, I can't just say, read your Bible, pray. No, no, no. Do you even want to? Come on, Christians, let's just be real. We having family time. I tell you the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts, but I would rather tell you what you need to know than what you want to hear. I love you enough to tell you this. It's time for us believers. It's time for us brothers and sisters to not be like everyone else when they say, oh, man, I don't have time for God. I try to fit God into my day. Listen, it's not your day. It's the Lord's day. Tim, what does it mean practically? What if my beautiful wife said, Tim, I just want to spend time with you today? I said, well, let me pull out my calendar and see if I can fit you in. You know what my wife would do? You sleeping on the couch. In Jesus' name. Right? You put Jesus' name so you can't change it, right? That's like the Trump card. She doesn't do that. She doesn't sometimes. Listen. Look, as small as we are, we're human beings. We're dust with eyeballs. Apart from God breathing life into dust, we are nothing. And we have the audacity. Tim has the nerve to say, I couldn't fit God into my day as if I'm the creator of the universe. Every moment I wake up is a gift from him. So instead of me trying to fit him into my day, I should try to give him my life every day. Because my life has been bought with the price. Because I've been justified. I've been made holy, right, and perfect by him. Because I've been adopted. Because I'm in his family. He's my father. And I want to spend time with my father. Tim, I'm having a hard time praying. No, you don't have a hard time praying. You have a heart problem. Tim, I'm having a hard time reading a book. I don't even like to read. I don't even like to read. Who cares if you like to read? This is his word to you. Go for it. Pursue him. Love on him. Why? To earn his approval? You already have it. Why? To have his acceptance? No, you already have it. And because you already have it, that will give you the encouragement to do it. I love my wife. You know why? Because I know she loves me dearly. And I try to lay down my life for her daily and help her out practically, not to earn her love, but because I know I have hers, I can freely give her mine. And for you, no matter who you are, you could freely, joyfully willingly give your life to the Lord. Why? Because it's His anyway. You belong to Him. You belong to Him, and it's beautiful. Well, Tim, that kind of sounds like control. Kind of sounds like He wants everything. Listen, give Him everything. It's better than you trying to keep a little. I want God to be fully responsible for my life. Because He's my strong tower. He's my defense. He's my dad. I love my daughter. She's 1 year old. Only thing she says right now, like, bah, 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 bah. And then sometimes she just says, okay. I'm like, whoa. She just kind of, see you later. Like, whoa. But you know what? I'll fail her. I'm going to fail her one day. I'm going to let her down. Now, sure, that's not going to give her any reason or right not to be obedient to me or not to listen to me, but I'm not going to be a perfect dad. But I still hope that she understands and appreciates the love that I have for her. And so when Daddy speaks, that she listens and that she joyfully and willfully obeys. You know what's crazy, though? God has never failed you. He has never failed you. Tim, man, you don't know what I've gone through. I don't know what you've gone through, but He's never failed you. He has never made a mistake. And so when He commands you to do something, it's not Him being hard. He knows what's best for you. It's being a faithful dad. And He's saying, trust in my boy. Trust in my son. Love him. Follow him. Be glued to him. Be fixed on him. Be rooted in him. Why? Because apart from him, there's nothing. There's nothing that even comes close. Well, Tim, following Jesus is hard. Even Jesus said it's not going to be even easy. Even Jesus said, to follow me, you got to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And it sounds like gloom, gloom and doom, gloom and doom. What do you mean to be a Christian? I'm picking up my cross and following Jesus. No, no, no. You know why Jesus says deny yourself? He loves us so much, and He wants us to be rooted in Him so much that He knows that we're going to give ourselves to things that are hard. We're going to give ourselves to things that are sinful. We're going to give ourselves to things that are harmful for us. So He says this, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself of those, because you're going to settle for something less than what I have to offer you. So when I deny my flesh, it's the greatest thing I could do. Does it feel bad? Right? Does it feel bad sometimes? Yeah. Does it feel good all the time? No, it doesn't. But listen, the reward outweighs the sacrifice. Some of you are like, oh, Tim, I got to make so many sacrifices following Jesus. Oh, come on. Doesn't the reward outweigh it? You've never made a sacrifice. You've only made investments. Tim, what's an investment? Well, when you get when you give $2 and a period of time goes by and you get $10. Is that a sacrifice at first? Maybe, but it's an investment. No Christian has ever made a sacrifice, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice that the Father was looking for. He only asks you to make investments. He says that this present suffering, the things that you're going through that are hard, that are tough, cannot even be compared. It's to the glory that's going to await you. But, all this sounds good, but only for those who are found in Christ Jesus. Only for those who are found in Christ Jesus. So how do we respond? Well, this is how we respond. The irony is that God doesn't need us, but wants us, accepts us, approves us, justifies us, adopts us. We desperately need Him, but most of the time, if Tim is honest, if you are honest, we act like we don't want Him or need Him. Well, what if we ended the way we ended our worship? What if we just came up and said, you know what, God, at this moment, we're just desperately just going to declare our need of you. You know what's crazy? As y'all was singing that song, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. You know what I really felt like just in my heart that God was saying? He says, you have me. You have me. You have me. Why be rooted in Christ? Why follow Jesus? Because He is with us. He is for us. He's done the heavy lifting. He's done the hard work. He's done what we couldn't do on our behalf. Now He's saying, man, if you would just trust in that and believe that, there's an adventure that awaits you that's so far greater than what you could ever do alone. I don't know who wants that, but the invitation tonight is simple. If you need God, and you know that, and you want to follow Him, You want to show others what it means to be a follower of Christ. He says, okay, follow me. Get close to me. Cling to me. Well, Tim, man, my heart is just isn't right. You know what's great? The Bible says, even in the Old Testament, I will give you a new one. And that's how I want us to pray. All of us. So I'm going to invite the band up, and I just want us to just to have a time of prayer where we can just respond and say, God, just give me a new heart where those words will not just be theology, it won't just be facts, but it will lead to transformation. God, I don't want the gospel to be 5 + 2 = 7. I want the gospel to be not just my mission, but my motivation. I want to be founded in Christ. I want to be rooted in him. I want to love him, but I cannot do this on my own strength. So, Father, I ask that you would give me a new heart. That's what I want us to pray for, a new heart. A new mind that will give us his spirit. And sometimes, depending on what church you go to, you're like, man, this Holy Spirit, it sounds like kind of freaky. It's kind of weird. No. God sends us his spirit because he knows we can't do it in our own strength. And the first time that we really see Jesus kind of mentioning the Holy Spirit in depth, he says this. He says, guess what? You're going to need a comforter. You're just going to need someone who's going to help you do this. You know what's cool about being rooted in Jesus? He says you don't have to do it on your own strength. You don't have to do it by yourself. I'll help you. I'll show you what it means to really love my son. I'll show you what it means to be found in him, to be rooted in him. All you have to do is respond and say, I want that. I want him. Help me. That's all you have to do. That's all we have to do. So what I'm going to do, not to manipulate anyone or anything, but just as we have family time and I asked you just to talk to one another, and you did beautiful with that, and hopefully we do that throughout the weekend. I'm going to ask you now, let's have family time, continue to have family time. Let's talk to our Father. Let's do business with him. Let's just be honest and say, some of us, including myself, sometimes he says, Hey, Dad, I know we're about to pray right now. I haven't talked to you all day. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Father, this is my first time even thinking about you today. I'm sorry about that, but I'm so happy that I'm here. And hey, Father, whatever it is that you want in my life this weekend, I'm asking you, like, okay, you do it. You show me. I'm here. I'm showing up. Help me pay attention. Help me get whatever it is that you're willing to offer. Help me see your son Jesus in a new way. Listen, man, woman of God, if Jesus loves you sounds boring, we need to do some heart work. If Jesus loves you is something, oh yeah, I knew that since back when, but it doesn't encourage you right now, whatever you're going through, we need to do some heart work. If you hear the word gospel and it's old news to you and not good news to you, we need to do some heart work. If you hear that you're perfectly accepted in God because of what his son has done on your behalf, and you're like, okay, and we need some heart work. If you hear you've been adopted and now you're a child of God, you're a daughter of God, you're a son of God, and you're like, and so what? There is no and. There is no so what. There's nothing greater than that. That's what it is. You don't have to be intimidated. God is not up in heaven like, That's right. You better worship me. No, no. The Bible says in Psalm 16 that in God's presence there is fullness of what? Of joy. He's the happiest person you will ever meet. God is in heaven not like, yeah, worship me. You know it. You know it. He's up in heaven like, oh, yeah. These are my sons. Do you know the day what will happen if my daughter comes up to me a year from now or 2 years from now and say, hey, Dad, I wrote you a song. Can I sing it to you? You think we'll be like, you better. That's right, about time. No, I will find joy in that. I will find excitement in that. And that's the great thing about the God we serve. As we worship him through song, as we worship him through prayer, as we say, God, I need you, he doesn't say about time. He says he enters into that joy and says he begins to woo us to him. He begins to draw our hearts to him. He says, you know what? I got you. I'm here with you. You're not alone. And what you are asking for is found in me. What you're looking for is found in me. And I'm willing to give it to you. If you want it, it's yours. This night can change your life because God is in the building. Because God is in the building. So right now, if we all can just stand to our feet, let's stand. I'm not trying to be hyper spiritual at all. But Jesus is practical. It got to a point where he's in a garden and he's about to redeem all mankind. We'll talk about redemption tomorrow, new creation tomorrow. He's about to pay the price. You know what's crazy? He told his disciples, hey, go and pray. And guess what the disciples did? They fell asleep. And that's when Jesus, you ever heard that thing? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. You know what he was talking about? Stop being tired. Pray. Right? That's not an excuse for how long I've been speaking. No, no, no. Look, the flesh is weak right now. Some of you are like, oh, man, you're thinking about tomorrow, thinking about tonight. No, no, no. The spirit, he's willing. He wants it. So some of you just need to fight it. You just need to fight it. Because this is good stuff. This is good news. This is life-changing news. So if everybody will bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to pray. And after I pray, the band is going to begin to sing. And I want us to have family time with the Father. I want us to leave where we are for all who can. And just come on up to the front. And let's worship the Lord through song as a family. So Father, right now, God, I pray over your sons and your daughters, those that you love dearly. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. Desperately in need of you, but with that you also desperately need.